Today in Science from Wired.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Meet the designer behind Neuralink's surgical robot. Afshin Mahin has helped design some of the most futuristic neurotech devices. By Emily Mullen. Afshin Mahin has become the go-to designer for companies working on devices that aim to tap into or modulate the brain. The creative agency he founded, San Francisco-based Card 79, has worked with Elon Musk's Neuralink to design a surgical robot for installing a coin-sized implant into people's heads. The device, known as a brain-computer interface, records and transmits brain activity with the goal of enabling paralyzed people to control a computer. Mahin worked with Neuralink to design the external parts of this system, the installation robot, and also a wearable that would sit behind the ear and transfer data and power to an implanted wireless receiver. This device, which looked like a sleek white hearing aid, was an early prototype. Neuralink unveiled a more simplified design in 2020 that is cosmetically invisible once in place, but it kept the look and feel of the robot that Card 79 helped dream up. Card 79's designs for Neuralink have won awards and caught the attention of other neurotech companies. The agency has since worked with Cognito Therapeutics, which is testing a headset to slow cognitive decline in Alzheimer's patients, and Science Corp, a startup founded by former Neuralink president Max Hodak, that is developing a visual prosthesis for the blind. More recently, Mahin has been tapped to help design an AI-powered wearable to induce lucid dreaming by startup Prophetic AI. Wired spoke with Mahin about his approach to designing brain devices and the future of neurotech. This interview has been edited for length and clarity. Wired asks, "How did you end up working with Neuralink?" Afshin Mahin says, "We've been working in the space of designing wearables for a decade now, almost a decade and a half. We worked with a company in Vancouver called Recon Instruments that was eventually acquired by Intel. The work we did with them was around the time Google Glass was being developed. These guys at Recon Instruments were doing a pair of sports sunglasses for running and cycling, and it was all about understanding how to put technology around your head. We had to add an extra processor and a camera all the way up at the front of the glasses, and so we had to get 3D scans of your head and databases of people's heads to understand the anatomy of a person's skull. We started working with Neuralink in late 2018, early 2019. When they did their launch video, they showed the design we did. We met with them about 6 months before that and were introduced to them because of that background we had in designing for the anatomy of the head." How do you design a brain-computer interface with user experience in mind when you can't test it out yourself? Mahin responded, "A lot of it was based on secondary research, understanding the pain points of what these individuals are going through, with the focus being on people with paralysis. We wanted to empower them to do things they weren't able to previously do. In terms of the actual product design, they were thinking about the ways that either they or a caregiver could easily be able to manage the system." As a designer, what safety considerations do you have to think about with the Neuralink device? Mahin said, "The primary safety considerations weren't so much on the device, but on the robot. We had a small role to play, which was to psychologically transform their first-generation robot, which was exposed to steel. You could argue it looked pretty ominous, to something that was a little bit more approachable and ready for clinical trials. We worked with Neuralink's engineering team to try and design fascias, covers or cladding for the outside of the robot to start to give it a bit more of a visual language that was simple, approachable, and something that you can imagine people not being intimidated by. In that process, we were starting to introduce a lot more elements of design, and the safety concern wasn't so much for the patients, it was for the operators. We thought about things like pinch points. You don't want people crushing their hands while you're operating the system. That's Robotics 101. It's what every designer who's designing robots has to think about. These machines are pretty powerful, and when they want to go to a specific location, they'll go there, and if your finger gets in between where it is and where it's going, it's going to be pretty dangerous. Next question, how did the design of the robot evolve over time? The robot design was a very collaborative process. It's obviously a super complicated robot, and so our design team came in to work closely with their mechanical engineers to understand the surgical process. We started with the part of the robot that has the needle and is doing the actual insertion of the neural threads, which record brain activity, because it's the most sensitive constraint, and we kind of worked backwards from there. We spent a period of time with them designing the part of the robot that interfaces with your head. We had to understand all the ways that you'd have to assemble it to cover up the existing system underneath it. We then moved on to the rest of the robotic body, and we were able to develop the body in parallel with their internal electromechanical design team. We were able to order the units to be fabricated, and then we worked with them to assemble it. From there, we've taken it and done further internal testing. What interests you about designing neurotech devices? I'm always inspired by the people doing work in this space in terms of founders, scientists, technologists, neuroscientists, and personally, it's just really cool that the feat of this technology is unlocking big philosophical questions about how the brain works and what it means to be human. I think that's super cool. You've worked with other brain device companies. Are there particular use cases for neurotech that really excite you? Mahin's response? The field is focusing on the most vulnerable right now, which is inspiring. The immediate attention is on how to help people who need help the most, such as those who are paralyzed. And the problems that are being solved are very direct. I think seeing more work being done on these problems with AI, having the AI solve those very practical problems, is what I'm most excited about right now. Then there's also this question around how AI is going to impact Neuralink and neurotech in general. I think these more kind of aspirational applications, like performance-focused applications that allow people to do things faster, are great, but I think that there's still more work to be done to understand that area. I'm still not sure what the end-user experience is going to look like when AI comes together with neurotech and robotics. What's an optimistic future that is human-centered that we can think about? I'm all for humanity. I'm optimistic. But there's also a part of me that's a little bit concerned and has a fear of dystopian futures right now. Final question. Would you ever turn down a project if you felt like you didn't agree ethically with what they were building? Afshin Mahin replied, yeah, for sure. It's a little bit tricky. In the practical world, there's only so much that our clients share with us. We're consultants at the end of the day, and so we don't really have their long-term business roadmap at our disposal, as lovely as that would be. But I think understanding the background of the founder and their general worldview is useful. And I think that people who start companies are also very interesting people. They're very ambitious, and sometimes you can't differentiate between ambition and nefariousness. Thanks for listening to Wired. My name is Zeke Robison, and for more stories like this one, visit us at wired.com.
Like what you learned? Subscribe everywhere you listen to podcasts and get more science news at wired.com/science.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.